Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the 10th episode of FS Talks, the podcast that brings you the latest news and chats with industry leaders every week on Friday mornings. Today's podcast is hosted by myself, Phil Creed. I am co-founder and director of FSCom, which is a boutique regulatory advisory firm to the financial services industry. Today, we are joined by Oliver von Lindsberg Sadie, who is CEO of cryptocurrency firm BCB Group. And today, we are talking about an area which is close to my heart. We're talking all things cryptocurrency. Good morning, Oliver. How are you?
Good morning, Phil. I'm very well. How are you?
Yeah, I'm not too bad. I'm hoping the weather sort of stays.
Likewise.
Thanks very much for joining me today. Oliver has significant experience in financial services, but it'd be great, could you introduce yourself in a bit more detail, Oliver?
Absolutely. And thanks again for setting this up. It's great to be on your show. So, look, I've had about 20 years in investment banking from wearing both finance hats and kind of technology hats. So I was actually an engineer for the first half of my career. Specifically in the quantitative aspects of the business, for example, modeling trades for structured trades, etc. I then kind of moved on to more commercial roles and eventually in a governance role at Barclays, where I oversaw some of the valuations business. And I think it's this combination of finance and tech that's led me directly down the path to Bitcoin, which is the ultimate expression of finance plus tech. So really captured my imagination about 2015 or so, later than some, but early enough to get in and do something interesting in this space. And now, having started this company in 2017, I think that background is really proving useful.
Brilliant. It's funny, you see more and more people who have sort of a traditional background come into cryptocurrency, and there must be a reason for it, right? Oliver, could you give us a bit of an elevator pitch on BCB Group? What do you guys do, and sort of where do you fit within the market?
Yeah, absolutely. So we do two things, and we do those two things really, really well. The one thing we do, our primary product, is our business accounts product. So this is providing banking and transaction banking services to the crypto and blockchain industry. And this is such a difficult market to move money in, that we've really had to take a close look at how to do this from a regulatory point of view, and from a practical point of view as well. The fact is, the world's banks are still, on the whole, hostile to the crypto and blockchain industry. So there's a huge opportunity which we're seizing right now to provide business banking in this market. That's the one pillar of our service. The other is OTC trading, and this is actually our origins. When we first incorporated 3 years ago, our first product was OTC trading, over-the-counter trading and brokerage of cryptocurrencies. And this is very much still part of our business, although that's now broadened to have the title BCB Markets, and BCB Markets covers cryptocurrency trading as well as FX trading, and that we're seeing quite an uptick in FX as well. So banking, trading, the pipeline's got a few tricks up its sleeve as well.
Perfect. You alluded to it a little bit earlier, but what attracted you to cryptocurrency? You're sort of mentioning the finance and tech part of it. But in your own words, what attracted you to it?
I think there's a few interesting things about this. I mean, the fact that from an economic point of view, the monetary supply is fixed. It's on a fixed schedule rather. So we know that over the next few decades, the number of Bitcoins in supply is increasing on a fixed schedule. And this is very much opposite to how central banks and governments work right now. And the this whole kind of COVID-19 period has really shone this in a light, where the US have issued this an arbitrarily large amount of money, just generated new cash. Yeah. And other central governments are issuing new cash as well. So that economic aspect is interesting. It's also providing, it's also really cool in the way that it reduces trading and commercial barriers that that are arbitrarily in place between certain places and certain people. So South African expat can remit funds frictionlessly, quickly, you know, in meaningful size, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I think the most interesting thing is not about, you know, Bitcoin itself or cryptocurrencies. It's about the kind of blockchain ledger, that whole design, which is finding a home in so many use cases going forward, and is rapidly finding a home in institutional finance as well.
Yeah. Blockchain's definitely. I don't think there's a large bank out there that's not investing in it in some way, shape, or form. I think it's really interesting you mentioned there about COVID-19. I think one of the things that you're thinking is all this money's flying out for furloughs and other. How are they going to pay for it? You know, that's what's sort of going through my mind. And is it just going to be quantitative easing? Or are they just going to issue more money? You
know? I mean, what the central banks are doing are generating a gigantic IOU to the rest of society, and society is going to pay for that over the next 10, 20 years.
Yeah.
By means of, one mechanism is simply through inflation. So with an increased money supply, that will reflect in the not too distant future in high street prices for basic subsistence, but also for, you know, for luxury goods and everything. So ultimately we will pay for this.
I know it's worrying, right? But sure, we'll wait and see. I read a fascinating article that you wrote on the 10 things you wish you knew before you started your business. I wonder if you could, you know, highlight a couple of these for any budding entrepreneurs, or the ones that you think were, you know, I really wish I knew this.
Great question. Look, I think anybody who wants to venture out and start something, ambitious in the fintech space or any space whatsoever. I mean, one of the key realizations for me was that this is really, this is a long haul project. As I expressed in one of our earlier chats, you know, this is a 5 to 10 year overnight success. You know, that overnight success myth for people starting out and generating, you know, their own startup is truly that, and it is many hours of hard work. But the key here is that as an entrepreneur, you're generating first degree value. You're not generating value as an employee who's kind of performing a function that, you know, is worth ever so slightly more than the salary that they're getting paid. This is creating wholesale value that benefits not just yourself and your staff, but the market as a whole. And in order to create that first degree value, you've got to put the sweat in and the creativity. And that's, I guess, one of the biggest things that's become obvious to me over the last couple of years.
We do a lot of work in crypto, just sort of moving on. It's interesting to hear from everyone is the, like, my opinion is that, you know, certainly blockchain technologies and crypto in some guise is here forever. You know, it just is. How do you see, like, the future of cryptocurrency?
I see the future will definitely be shaped by the last 10 years in which Bitcoin has become the predominant kind of icon and player. But there's an awful lot of, you know, more interesting things coming up. Bitcoin is in a space in which it's got a bit of a catch-22. The more popular it is, the less useful it is. So this arises from the fact that, you know, there's some significant technology limitations that if the world were suddenly to switch over to Bitcoin as a cryptocurrency, the networks would simply be too clogged to be able to operate meaningfully and the transactions would be too high. But what it has given us is a mechanism of money transfer that, you know, that can perhaps blend well with other things. So, you know, central bank digital currencies or stable coins, you know, two variations of a similar idea, taking fiat currency as we know it, but having it transferable and represented in digital form. I think stablecoins are going to be a big future, a big part of the future, instigated by the whole rise of cryptocurrencies. And, you know, fiat money is one kind of asset. In the future, definitely we will have equities, bonds, other, you know, property, art represented on the blockchain.
Digitally, yeah.
And that's a space in which, you know, 100 people can own 1% of a high value painting. You know, that kind of fractional ownership comes into play much more easily in a blockchain world.
Yeah, Yeah, totally agree. The fifth money laundering directive came out this year and it's caused a few headaches, I think, around the industry. Has it caused many for you, or is it welcome regulation for BCB?
It's very welcome for us. In terms of our client base, many of our clients are cryptocurrency businesses. It has certainly, been a bit of an agent for them pulling up their socks and getting on the right side of regulations. And for those who had constantly introduced high risk transactions to us, those are no longer, those businesses are either kind of shutting up shop or doing the work that's necessary to get into AMLD5. In terms of what we need to do, we are already effectively AMLD5 compliant because of the fact that, we run a regulated institution for payments anyway, and the standards and processes and checks are universal across our various subsidiaries. So very much welcoming this set of regulation. And ultimately, this goes back to one of the points I made in that list of 10 you referred to earlier, which is that the more rules there are, the easier it is to play. Yeah. So bring it on.
Yeah. Do you think there's anything more that regulators should or could do to improve the landscape of regulation?
Yeah, definitely. I think, if you think of a regulator's role as threefold, number one, to protect consumers, number two, to keep markets efficient, and number three, to kind of provide a mechanism for companies to raise capital. I think it's that third component that needs more work because, companies trying to raise money in ICOs in 2017, completely unregulated, absolute shit show. If we can have a bit more regulation that provides some definition and framework on issuing securities or tokens representing those securities in real businesses, that would be a game changer. So I think that's the next step for the FCA, for FINMA and a bunch of others.
So do you think ICOs have kind of died down a wee bit, predominantly because there's some crazy status, like 70% of them were fraudulent or something like that?
It was crazy. People were raising insane amounts of money, and the people who bought into it didn't own the actual enterprise they were buying into. They just owned the magic beans, which kind of somehow represented them.
Yeah, it's crazy. So you think that's a good idea that with the right regulation could actually have some legs? Is that basically
definitely
what you're saying?
It'll go from a model in which IPOs are a 12-month process with 8 to 10% fees to a one-week process with fees below 1%, a fully tech-enabled digital initial equity offering, whether that's a public offering or some kind of security token.
That's particularly interesting, right? For anyone who owns sort of a business, that's be a fascinating thing to pull out. This final question for me, for the BCB group, what does the future hold for your company in the short, sort of medium, long term? Are you fundraising? Do you intend to expand in other jurisdictions? What's the plan?
So we are fundraising. We're closing in on some very interesting investor partnerships that will really enable us to scale up for the next things that we want to do. I guess the first thing we want to do is simply broaden our reach, get more clients on board that are in the same market. But, we'd also like to expand the product set where today it is a bank account and a way to trade cryptocurrencies and FX. Mm-hmm. Not so far down the road, we'll have products that allow you to borrow or lend, that will allow you to engage with stable coins, that will also, a little further down the line, allow you to engage in security tokens, when that market wakes up, again, subject to regulation. So there's a lot in the pipeline. We've got some great conversations from investors going right now. I think the future is bright.
Brilliant. I think our audience will agree crypto is just a fascinating, and I think in particular it's constantly developing area of financial services. It changes month on month, week on week almost. But the incredible people that are involved in crypto just typifies the fact that this is here to stay. Do you know what I mean? You're obviously an example of that, Oliver. Oliver,
That's
thank you very
kind.
Much. Thank you very much for joining me.
No, not at all. It's been a great chat. I really enjoyed being part of this, and thank you.
Okay, super. On next week's show, We'll be joined by Graham Barrow and Ray Blake, who are the Dark Money Files. And we're going to be talking about our joint venture. We're actually doing a Dark Money Files conference. So look forward to chatting with you all then. Thanks very much.